In a world where millionaires fight billionaires for a measly $50 out of your pocket, and yet none of these bastards give a rat's ass what you think or whether you live or die, there are only two men who can help you through this difficult time. Unfortunately, Pucked in the Head are not those two men, but we're going to talk about them right now. She hitched a ride up from Frisco. All right, Chris, how you doing? I'm not going to do that voice the whole time.
Please don't.
I'm not going to try to do that.
Christian Bale over here.
My name is Jason Carello. I'm here with my friend Chris Withers. We are Pucked in the Head.
It is so good to be back. It's been a while.
It has been a while. We have not posted a podcast since February, if you can believe it.
I can, actually. We have actually recorded during that time, but you being a parent and a lazy bastard to boot have failed to post those episodes.
And not only am I a parent and a lazy bastard, but I also had a hard drive blow up.
There was that, yeah.
And there's also the lazy bastard part.
So we are here today to talk about the fourth work stoppage in the last 20 years in the National Hockey League. Now, it has not yet come to pass.
Now, you're saying fourth.
I am saying fourth.
Most media outlets, most people are saying third.
Well, in 1992, Jason, there was a 10-day strike by the players, which forced the cancellation of some 30 National Hockey League games.
That is correct. And that was before the hiring of Mr. Gary Bettman, was it not?
All right. He was hired on February the 1st, 1993. So you are correct, sir. Yes, that was before hiring of Gary Bettman.
Alrighty. So basically, we're looking at a possibility of the third lockout, the fourth worker stoppage in 20 years. Do you get the feeling that anybody gives a damn?
Not really, no.
Honestly? Like, I find myself caring less and less as this goes on.
Yeah, I can't get excited about millionaires fighting billionaires, as you so darkly put it in the preamble.
Like, really? All they're serving to do is piss off the quote-unquote world's greatest fans who have supported them through all of this nonsense in the past.
There does come a point where the world's greatest fans are going to stop coming back. There's just too much out there, and it's becoming more and more possible to get your hands on sports that you care about. I mean, if you're a hockey fan, it's never been easier to watch the CHL, for example. A lot of teams are offering web streams. There are, I don't think, any NHL markets that don't have another major professional sport in the city.
Whether that's, you know, MLS soccer, CFL, NFL football, you name it. Even just within the hockey, like if you need a hockey fix, which, I mean, you and I are huge hockey fans, right? Like, would you be satisfied watching AHL hockey or watching junior teams, watching, for example, my team that I've picked for this particular lockout is the Belfast Giants? Is that going to satiate us?
I would, because I have a connection to a team. I can drop down to the CHL. I can watch the Vancouver Giants. I have another hometown team at a lower level if I choose to support them.
But would that be satisfying for you? Like, I had Giants season tickets for one of their first seasons. I was in the building when they won the Memorial Cup with Milan Lucic, who has since become a dirty, rotten Bruin. That was not the end-all, be-all. There's no Stanley Cup there. At what point do we stop caring about that one trophy?
Pretty soon, I think, if the players and owners are hell-bent on this course. Do Chicago fans come back? I mean, they left for the better part of the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, but that was because the team stunk.
Yeah.
Right? When the team started playing entertaining hockey again, they came back. So I don't think it's not a matter of a work stoppage. It's a matter of, do they put good hockey on the ice?
You don't think that a big part of that was due to momentum? I mean, the NHL made great strides in livening up their product.
Not in Columbus.
Well, league-wide. I mean, the quality of the game of hockey at the NHL level was improved drastically after the lockout. whether or not you played in Columbus or you played in Chicago or in Pittsburgh. At least you weren't seeing the trap night in and night out. Now the league has allowed that to slip back. They're no longer enforcing the rules that they enacted after the last lockout. The game has become much more boring to watch. And now, just as they were starting to lose steam, they're going to put the nail in the coffin and stop playing altogether. Do you think the fans come back after that? I don't. I think this kills a lot of teams.
A lot of teams. It depends on what you mean by a lot. I mean, it's not going to kill the Canucks or the Oilers. I mean, they've still got a really exciting young group of players. In fact, I think if there's a season canceled and they come back in 2013-2014, the Oilers are going to be stronger for it.
Just because their players have that time to mature?
Those young players have time to mature. They're probably going to go out and play in a league that doesn't have 82 games. So, I mean, if a couple of those guys go out and play in the KHL, a couple of them go and play in Sweden, Switzerland, wherever, those guys are going to come back rejuvenated, if that's a word you can use for guys who are 19 and 22. I mean, Edmonton is going to come back stronger.
I don't think that a lot of places where hockey is not the number one sport are going to come back from this. I don't think San Jose, who's been a real leader in the Sun Belt, comes back from this. I don't think Nashville, who's developed a really, really strong season ticket base, is going to come back from this.
You might even look at those two teams, and from a conspiracy theorist point of view, the owners there are probably thinking, you know what? That's okay. Because San Jose's going to they're going to blow up that core, if not this year, next year anyway. They've already traded away guys like Heatley, Setoguchi.
Okay, why do the owners care?
I've heard different arguments about this whole why the owners are doing this. The owners are making more money than they've ever made before, but they're claiming that league-wide they lost $250 million last year. Now, is that just creative accounting, or is that a legitimate thing? Like, are the Columbuses and the Phoenixes and the Islanders, are those teams actually losing the league that much money?
I think there are teams that are losing money. I think that any sport or any business that's got six-figure income or greater is going to employ creative accounting to some extent. So I don't think that a $250 million loss, is that what they're claiming?
Something like that, yeah. It was almost $250 million league-wide losses is what they're claiming.
No, I don't think that's at all realistic. Not when revenues are at an all-time high.
Here's another thing I don't understand. Is if these owners are crying poor, why are they okaying $100 million contracts?
Exactly.
And it's not even $100 million contracts for, like, I mean, okay, Roberto Luongo, Hall of Fame goaltender, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, these guys should be getting that kind of money if anybody's going to get it. But Ryan Suter? Zach Parise? Really?
How long is this contract?
Who's that?
Parise? Is it 10 years or?
Isn't it 13 years?
13? I don't know. Well, he's got to be making something like $700,000 a point based on his output from last year. It's just a ridiculous number.
Was he even a point per game guy?
No, he was around 70, 75 points.
Okay, I'm not saying points are the only thing to measure, but really $100 million bucks? Really? Like Shea Weber, I can understand. And I'm saying I understand in the context of other contracts that have been out there. Buffalo, look at all the money they threw at Christian Ehrhoff.
I know.
Good player, but that much?
I don't know how much I can blame the owners for this. If you're a good businessman, then you're hiring people to run your business effectively.
I believe that's business person.
In the NHL, it's businessman because there are no female owners, but your point is taken.
I'm just saying.
You know, if they're a good hands-off owner, then what they should be doing is hiring a general manager to put the best team that they possibly can together, then evaluating whether or not the actual structure is to their overall benefit financially. And I think that's what most people are doing. You know, it's easy to lump in general managers with ownership, but I would hope that in most cases, especially in the cases where money isn't of particular concern, that the general managers have the ability to spend to the cap without necessarily talking to the owner about every detail.
Okay, agreed. they might not have to discuss every detail. So if you're looking at paying this guy $6.1 million and you're looking at, you know, bumping it up to $6.5 million, that's probably not something that you're going to need to talk to the owner about. But when you're talking about bringing in two players in Minnesota and paying them a collective $200 million for two players, and this is not Crosby and Malkin. I mean, you can't tell me that GM doesn't have to go and get owner permission to sign that contract.
Okay, well, I mean, you're a conspiracy theorist, at least for the day. If you are an owner and you want to highlight some of the problems with the current collective bargaining agreement, wouldn't you give carte blanche to your general manager to go and do that?
So what you're saying is you're saying that owners
are spending money now in order to change the system so they don't have to spend that money later. Short-term pain for long-term gain.
So they're basically doing stupid things to prove how stupid they are.
Yes.
In order to build a system wherein they can't be stupid in the future.
You have it.
That's stupid.
Stupid enough to be plausible.
That would be like me saying, you know what? I think that I'm a bad driver. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out. I'm going to get really drunk. I'm going to get behind the wheel of my car. I'm going to plow into a bus stop on purpose every day until someone takes away my license.
No, your analogy is poor because the owners are going to get to keep their license.
That's stupid. So if I could do that, I plow into a bus stop every day, knowing that I will keep my license, but they will change the rules about how somebody gets a license. Would that be a better analogy?
Perhaps. You know what? I'm not really sure how to shoehorn this analogy of yours into my hypothesis.
So basically we have, we promised people at the beginning we would talk about the two dunderheads that are having a dick measuring contest and keeping NHL hockey ransom. So you were going to talk about Count Von Count and the elder of the Fair brothers.
These two, I would think, have to be considered the premier negotiators in their respective fields. Gary Bettman is probably the most uncompromising commissioner in any major sport in North America in the last 20 to 30 years. Donald Fair is the former head of the most successful Players Association in North America.
Of course, being the Major League Baseball Players Association.
That's right, yeah. Bettman, as we mentioned earlier, was hired in 1993. 19 years now, tormenting the fans of the National Hockey League with his cocky... I can't even describe it. What would you like to know about Gary Bettman, Jason?
Everybody who is a fan of hockey knows what he has done for and against the game. I mean, he's certainly a bean counter. He's very good at that. He has grown the game financially over the last 19 years. He's made some unpopular decisions, but to be honest, most of them have panned out in one way or another.
He has a very good relocation record. I think only three franchises have relocated under his watch, which, given the financial state of some of the franchises, is actually quite remarkable. He took the league from obscurity on television on ESPN, where when they could be bothered to show an NHL broadcast, they didn't even have an intermission show about hockey. And he's graduated the league to NBC now, which has its own sports net and is paying a hefty sum to the National Hockey League, whereas before the National Hockey League almost had to pay to get its games televised.
Certainly they were beggars to the banquet, that's for sure.
Donald Fair, he was hired a couple of years ago by the National Hockey League Players Association, basically to help them with this battle. The players knew it was coming. They knew that the owners weren't satisfied, having reached an agreement back in 2004 that was arguably the biggest victory ever for a group of owners. Fair came from Major League Baseball, where it was probably the most player-friendly setup in North America. There was no salary cap to speak of. It was a soft cap that a team could exceed by whatever amount that they wanted. You ended up with situations where the New York Yankees would spend $150 million in salary in a single year, pay huge amounts of luxury taxes to lesser teams like the Florida Panthers.
The Florida Panthers. The Yankees were paying the Florida Panthers.
Did I say the Florida Panthers?
That was an outrageous luxury tax system.
A luxury tax system that saw the Yankees paying the Florida Marlins large sums of money that that they then turned around and spent to buy even more players, which they then used to beat the Yankees in the World Series one year. It was arguably a system that led to a sort of competitive balance, even while letting player salaries escalate. And now we have two uncompromising negotiators going head-to-head, one of whom is dead set on tilting the scales further in the owner's direction, and the other who is, I can only assume, seeking an ultimate goal of getting rid of the salary cap or getting a soft cap similar to Major League Baseball.
Okay, so neither of these guys are hockey guys. Like, Bettman comes from basketball. So
That's right.
What exactly, he was Stern's right-hand man, David Stern's right-hand man, through what, like the Michael Jordan years?
He joined in 1981. He was actually third in command of the NBA. He was, for quite a number of years, the general counsel to the league, as well as the senior vice president.
So he's basically totally a lawman then, not a sportsman.
For the most part, yeah. Interestingly, he was a key in the development of the NBA's soft salary cap system, which obviously was not suitable for him once he joined the National Hockey League.
So then he leapt from third in command with the NBA to commissioner-in-chief of the NHL. Why did Fair leave the MLBPA?
I'm not entirely sure of that, Jason. I guess he wanted a new challenge.
So, I don't know anyone who sides with the owners in this.
It's tough to side with the owners because they got such a huge victory after the last lockout. Like there was literally nothing more that they could have asked for out of that lockout.
What's stopping the players from simply pulling a WHA?
Logistics. You have to have somebody to organize that.
There are no shortage of Jim Balsillies in the world who would love to have big-time hockey under their roof.
Yeah, it's a huge commitment, though. Huge commitment. Think of all of the buildings around the NHL that are owned by the NHL teams that play in them.
And I suppose even the ones that aren't owned by the NHL teams. The NHL teams would pretty much sever any agreement with a building that allowed a replacement franchise to play there.
Well, I don't know that they'd have any legal recourse to do so, but they'd probably have a strong say in it anyways as a major tenant.
Well, as a major tenant, actually, in their agreements, they probably have something in there about non-competition.
Well, that's possible. I don't know that any of those agreements are really made public, so I don't know.
So, I mean, that's my first question. I mean, we said this during the playoffs last year when all of the entertaining teams were knocked out really early.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people would have paid big dollars to see Vancouver, Detroit, Chicago, and Pittsburgh in a four-team playoff, for example?
Yeah. I don't know whether there would be any contractual obligation on the individual players not to take part in such a scheme. I guess if they can play in the AHL or the KHL while there's a lockout, then.
Well, now, a lot of them can't play in the AHL because those are NHL affiliate teams.
Right.
But you're looking at some of those leagues, like the Swedish Elite League has already said they will not accept part-time players.
Right.
You sign on for a full season or you don't sign. The KHL has just announced in Russia that they will allow 3 part-time players to be signed that will not fit under their cap, which is a soft cap anyway in the KHL. But they do have a rule that they only allow a certain number of non-Russian players on any roster. And that is not going to change. They still will only allow 3 players on their roster that are not Russian.
Well, it's a smart move on their part. I don't know. I don't know if there's a wrong answer. Both the Swedish Elite League and the KHL are going to benefit from an NHL lockout. Some Swedish players are going to go home and they're going to stay there. Some Russian players are going to go home and they're going to stay there. And there was a rumor floating around that Malkin was trying to get Crosby to come to the KHL and play.
Crosby's already said that he would not go over at the beginning of the season. He would only go over at Christmas if the season is canceled in full.
Yeah, but there are plenty of lesser players who aren't going to be that picky.
Definitely. And we've also heard the Sedins, for example, in Vancouver have said they will not go over and play in Sweden unless there's an announcement that the whole season is canceled. They will play a whole season over there, but they will not play a part season.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else to add?
I would like to just utter a stream of expletives directed at both sides in this farce.
Okay.
Gary Bettman, Donald Fair, all the players and all the owners, fuck you, you dumb motherfuckers. Fix this shit.
All right. Thank you. One of the things that came out of the canceled season in 2004, 2005 was I, for one, realized just how unimportant in the grand scheme of things NHL hockey really is. I love the game. I enjoy it very much when it's played well and when it's called consistently.
You enjoyed all those Sportsnet poker broadcasts, did you?
No, you know what I did? I turned the television off. And I went outside and I did things with friends that did not involve me sitting on the couch yelling at the TV screen.
In the winter time?
Yes, in the winter time. I know it sounds crazy, but trust me, it can be done.
I, for one, am hopeful that you know that I'm quite the soccer fan now, and I'm hopeful that if the NHL does cancel the season, that some more niche sports, particularly Major League Soccer, can use that to their advantage and maybe attract a few of those fans. I don't know if they'll be successful or not, but I do hope an effort is made.
I have to say, I've been to a couple of White Caps games with you and with the other folks. I've enjoyed them very much. It's a lot of fun.
I don't know whether you can just attract another sports fans in that manner.
I'm more likely to turn my attention to other hockey teams myself.
Yeah, for the Canadian market, I think it will be considerably tougher just because hockey is so ingrained as the sport. But, you know, other places, San Jose, Dallas, well, San Jose in particular, there aren't a whole lot of other options in San Jose proper.
The Earthquake?
Yeah, the Earthquakes, I think, could make some headway there. But I do hope that the NHL doesn't go all the way down this road, because I think that they are going to lose a lot of people just to disinterest, to other sports, to a lack of momentum, whatever it is. I think it's going to be very detrimental this time.
Do you think that Gary Bettman cares as little about the fans as he seems to? Or is he just coming off poorly because he is such an awful public speaker?
I don't think any business person worth their salt, and Gary Bettman, love him or hate him, is worth his salt, underestimates the impact that turning off your customer can have. Whether or not he actually thinks this will turn off enough customers to matter is a different story.
I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Meanwhile, go Belfast.
Belfast Giants are my team. I'm going to be blogging about them and tweeting about them. Chris, your team?
I have not been able to find a web stream for this game, so I am not sure how successful I will be in blogging about them. But if I can, I will be following the German Elite League's EHC Wolfsburg Grizzly Adams. You will be quite unsurprised to know that they have horrendous orange jerseys that are fantastic.
Okay, Chris, if you indeed do manage to blog about them for the full year, and it does not impact my family finances too much, I will buy you one of those jerseys for your birthday.
Challenge accepted.
All right. I'm going to be blogging about the Belfast Giants, who, by the way, have 10 Canadians on their roster. and are known for bench-clearing brawls.
Excellent. They do have... I've seen some YouTube clips of some really intense line brawls in Britain.
Oh, they're outrageous.
Not for them, the Gary Bettman prudishness when it comes to fighting.
No, not at all. That is it for this episode of Pucked in the Head. My name is Jason Carrillo.
Mine is Chris Withers. And Jason, we should do this more often.
I'm thinking that, the six-month layoff should not happen again, whether or not there's NHL hockey.
Take care.
All right. Cheers, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a
we got away from what we were doing that made us so successful in 2006 and 2007, but now we're going to go back to that. Yay!
I just got distracted by my lovely wife eating cheese. Two of my favorite things.
I was distracted by you picking your nose, Jason. I apologize. Now you just ate it.